It was a different time. It was a time of destiny. A time when a child could tip the balance between good and evil.
Why, with my powers, with the strength of my great army, can you not find one little child?
A time for an unlikely hero named Willow.
Well, Warwick, thank you so much. I gotta, right out of the gate, I have to say that I'm a big fan of yours, and I'm sure you probably get this from a lot of people, but for me, Willow was just a fantastic experience. You know,
oh, thank you very much.
You know, I mean, I've got great memories of my dad taking me to see that on my birthday, and it was just like the perfect movie for a 10-year-old boy to watch.
Oh,
you know?
That's brilliant. And it's lovely, yeah.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I'm sure, like I said, you probably get that from everybody. But, and it probably
no,
still...
I mean, what's great about it, I mean, it's the sort of film that, you know, it's, well, how old is it now?
We got to be...
It's kind of like making me feel old now. It's 22 years old. And people still talk about it like it was a movie that was just recently out, you know, because they say, oh, we love the movie, we grew up with the film, and yeah, we showed our kids and our grandkids. And it's a timeless film now, you know, a sort of, and it's a generational film that people do indeed pass on and have very fond memories of, like you say yourself, which is really flattering, and it's a great sort of movie for an actor to do because it's, you know, it stays with you. It's not something forgotten about.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I still maintain that it's probably my favorite movie just because, you know, it's a lot of fun and it's objectively a great, fun, exciting movie. But just my, you know, nostalgic ties to it and my emotional ties to it has always made it like my number one choice. So just being able to talk to you was certainly a thrill because it was it's such a cool thing. I mean, do you get annoyed? Like, is that what you're best known for? Do people say, hey, man, Willow's great? Is that the role you're most associated with?
Well, no, I mean, I'm lucky, you know, that there are different groups of people that like different things that I've done. You know, there's, of course, the people that follow Star Wars, you kind of love, you know, those movies and the work that I did in them. So that's sort of one group there. And, of course, you have people that like yourself, who really enjoyed Willow, grew up with it, et cetera. And then you've got people that I do worry about their sanity, but there are people that like the Leprechaun movies.
Nice.
So it has a whole other group in themselves. And, of course, a Harry Potter fan.
Yep.
So it's, you know, I'm known for quite a few different things now, but yeah, I wouldn't mind if it was just the one thing either, you know, and, but I'm lucky with the, you know, the makeup artist can change me and make me look like anything that I need to for these different films. So, it's allowed me to be in so many different movies now.
Man, when you listed off Warwick, when you know, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Willow, I mean, you pretty much have cornered every market of, you know, like the timeless genre film that people love, you know?
Well, I'd like to say it was a kind of a strategic plan that I had, you know, when I was right. 11 when I started acting. But it's just kind of all happened by chance and by good fortune. And yeah, when I do look back and when I sat down to write my autobiography, that was what suddenly occurred to me was exactly, you know, how lucky I'd been and fortunate to have been asked to be in all of these, you know, films that are remembered and are, you know, some of the biggest franchises of all time. So, yeah, I don't really know how it happened. It's completely, it's just luck.
Now, going back to the beginning, I mean, one of your very first roles was in Return of the Jedi, right?
Yes, that was my very first acting job. What a place to start.
I know, really. Holy cow.
it's not, you know, your career could easily have just gone downhill after that. Cause it was, you know, one great movie, and then everything else you do could never live up to that. But I was lucky, you know, some other great things did come along. But, yeah, being 11 years old and having the opportunity to, you know, appear on screen with my heroes of the day in the shape of Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Carrie Fisher, because I was a big Star Wars fan. I grew up, you know, and went to see the movie when I was seven.
Right.
Just it had an immediate sort of impact on me, and it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in the cinema. And so, yeah, to have to be in one of those films is something that will always stay with me.
So, how did that happen? I mean, how did you end up in the movie? I mean, was this? you know, how did you begin your experience in show business, I guess?
Well, it was, again, no, there was no plan. There was no sort of strategy here. It was, I was 11 years old. I was at school, like anyone else at that age. And my grandmother happened to be listening to the radio in her kitchen one day. And the Star Wars people, Lucasfilm, put out a kind of call for short people to be in the new Star Wars movie they were doing. She told my mum about this, who immediately phoned up the studio. Straight away she heard the word Star Wars. She knew I was a big fan. And they said, well, sorry, we've got everyone we need. And she said, oh, no. And I don't know what she said. You know, I think she said that he's, you know, 2'11", and he loves Star Wars. He'd love to do it. And I said, all right, we'll bring him in. We'll meet him. And I went up to Elstree Studios in London, where they shot all the Star Wars movies. And they took one look at me and said, okay, go and get yourself measured up for an Ewok costume. And that was it. I didn't have to audition. I just got the part based on my height.
Wow. Man, that is serendipitous, I believe.
I know. It's amazing. I mean, and that's what's so wonderful about kind of life, in a way. It's those kind of chance moments. If my grandmother hadn't heard that radio commercial,
right,
I might not be talking to you now. It's as simple as that moment there changed everything. It's quite phenomenal. But I noticed, you know, and sitting down to write the book, I thought, there's been a few moments like that. Well, one of them being what happened to me during the making of that film, when Kenny Baker, who is normally inside R2-D2,
absolutely,
he was taken ill with food poisoning, and they asked me to step into the role of Wicket, because until that point, I was just another Ewok.
Oh, really? Okay, and, so you were?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
no, I wasn't Wicket to start with, and I was just another kind of, you know, Ewok number 54 or what have you, and. On the day they were going to shoot the scene with Carrie Fisher, he was taken ill, and they asked me to come on the scene. And then from that moment on, I was then known as Wicket the Ewok, and Kenny was then Paplu. So another fortunate for me, not so fortunate for poor old Kenny. But
well, that got you that screen time with your heroes at the time, right?
Oh, absolutely. It was a great scene, and it was one of the more memorable scenes of the movie as far as the Ewoks went. And it's the first time you see an Ewok, was that?
That's right.
Wicket. Stepping into frame there.
That's right.
And yeah, I mean, Carrie was lovely to play the scene with. She was very worried about me in the Ewok suit.
Yeah, what was that? Was that just roasting inside there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was sort of foam padding, which gave the Ewok their shape, and then a fur suit over the top, the feet, the three-fingered gloves, and then last, the head. So if you weren't hot enough already, just seal it in with the head, and... You were truly roasting. And then the problem was that the eyes immediately misted up, so you couldn't actually see where you were going either. But I had youth on my side. I was just,
that's right,
you know, 11. I turned 12 on the movie, and it didn't seem to affect my energy levels at all. So, you know, when all the other Ewoks were fading away and wanting to take a break, I'd actually be saying, well, yeah, I can do another one. We're fine. So they actually nicknamed me the Ever-Ready Ewok.
Sounds like you should be doing battery commercials. You know, the
Ever-Ready. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
In a sponsorship.
No, I was doing fine with all that. The heat really wasn't something that troubled me at all.
Oh, wow. Now, was that kind of the kickoff to this kind of professional relationship you seem to have developed with George Lucas?
I suppose it was. He had sort of enjoyed, you know, my performance, and which really, from my point of view, was just me being an 11-year-old, I suppose, and looking at the world through those eyes. And,
right,
and that was kind of how Wicket saw the world around him. He was a curious young Ewok, and when he saw something like R2-D2, of course, he would kind of wonder what it was. He's used to seeing trees and, you know, branches and organic things, and then all of a sudden there's an R2-D2, which is totally different. So I figured, you know, he's going to be curious. And George really liked that in me. He liked that kind of confidence and that sort of improvisational kind of skill that I had. And yeah, so I guess we formed a friendship and something, a creative relationship as well, that then he, you know, went on to use me in the Ewok movies,
yep,
in Labyrinth, and then was inspired around about the time we did Jedi to write the film Willow.
Oh, really? So this was overlapping creatively for him. He was
he mentioned to my mum in about 1983 that he had this idea for a movie called Willow. But he said Warwick's too young at the moment, but when he's old enough, I really want to do this. So
that would have been – so you were how old when you filmed Willow?
I was 17, and they waited till 1987, at which point Ron Howard still thought that I was too young.
That's right. You were playing a patriarch of a family, so that must have been interesting.
Absolutely, yeah. So he was like, well, and I had to prove myself with screen tests, and I was up against hundreds of other little people from around the world.
Oh, really? Oh, so this wasn't a project kind of built for you? This was something...
It was built for me by George, and I had George in my corner, but when he hired Ron to direct, of course, Ron then has the prerogative to want to make sure that we have the right man for the job. And I had to prove it, but indeed I did, because, history speaks for itself there. But it was probably a very good way of testing, whether I was going to actually be able to, sustain the long and very arduous shoot that we were going to embark on for the movie, because 6 months, more than 6 months worth, and it was physically, mentally very demanding. So I suppose going through screen tests as far as I did kind of proved, it bore out that I was going to be the right man for this job.
Now, did you have a good time shooting Willow? I mean, it looked like it would have been a ton of fun, but behind the scenes, was it pretty grueling?
It was a long shoot, but again, I was young, so I took it all in my stride, and I had to learn all sorts of different skills. Some of them I enjoyed. Some of them, horse riding I didn't enjoy, because I have a fear of horses from childhood, when my sister's horse decided to bolt and run away with me on its back. So I've never had a particular fondness for horses. I had to learn to kind of how to hold a baby and how to deal with changing the diapers and all of that stuff.
Right.
I would look like I was possibly a father of two children when I was handling Laura Dallin, the child. I had to learn a sword fight. That was more fun for a 17-year-old. That was all right.
Now, did you do a lot of your own stunts? Did you do a lot of stunts?
I did some action stuff. I had a stunt double. Some were better than others. Some looked like me. Some didn't look anything like me. So, where possible, they would ask me to step in and do these things. And the time when I wanted a double was on the horse, but it was always me. And sledging down the mountain, I wouldn't have minded a double in there. But again, it was me on that sled, and they assured me it was very safe. But it was frightening, to be honest. It really was. I don't like roller coasters or anything like that. This was just the fear that you see on my face in the movie is actually real terror.
That's authentic. Huh? That's not method acting. That is like authentic.
No, that's absolute horror. Are we going to die when we crash into that room?
Oh, gee. Now, did you keep anything from the set when you were done? Like, do you have any keepsakes in your home office? Do you have an acorn or two?
They would have been good, wouldn't they? I don't have an acorn. I have a really nice piece. I have it framed for preservation. I have a willow wand.
Oh, nice.
My wand from Willow, which is really nice. So that's the only thing I have from Willow, nothing else.
Yeah. That's the one to go with.
I'd love to add another Harry Potter wand to that collection.
That's right.
I have two wands. That would be very nice, but I have to wait till the movie's over to see whether I get one yet.
That's right. I mean, I was such a Willow geek, Warwick. I memorized like the spells that you would use to transform Finn Rizzell. Yeah, so I'm actually admitting that to the world. But that's all.
Can you remember it now?
Oh man, let's see. I'm gonna give it a shot. Loctuar Denalora Tuatha Denu. Am I close?
That's good.
That's pretty good, right? Yeah.
And then there's another bit that goes on from there. There's four more words.
Tuatha.
Schnox Danu.
Yes. Yes.
Very
nice.
Good.
Yeah, I'm telling you, me and my brother would just park ourselves in front, watch the VHS tape pretty much on, over and over. It was that much of a fun time for us, for sure.
The number of people that told me that they wore out the VHS. They watched it so many times. Loads of people would come up to me and say that. This was before the DVD had been released. DVD. We can't wear those now.
Oh, man. I had to adjust the tracking many times on the wagon ride scene, which is still one of my favorite action sequences of all time.
Brilliant.
The Wagon Train.
Yeah.
Now, I'll ask you, have you any, I do have the DVD, of course. Have you heard any, has there been any whispers about a Blu-ray release, perhaps, or a super special edition of Willow?
No, I'd like there to be one,
definitely.
So, and I'm sure they will. I mean, I think they're working on Blu-ray of Star Wars at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, and Lucasfilm tend to hang back a little bit on their, their releases in new media just to see the full potential, and so they can realize the full potential of that media. And so I'm sure they're, once they get Star Wars under their belt and they kind of know where they are, their catalog will hopefully come out. Because I mean, Willow was a long time coming on DVD. I remember when it
definitely
came out. It was a relief. It was great. Now everybody can kind of enjoy it again, you know. And
definitely,
and they have been. So, but yeah, it would be very nice. It would be very nice, and it'd be nice to see something a bit more. Because I know there's more behind the scenes footage. So certainly, you know, I have hours of my own footage that I shot behind the scenes of Willow.
Like your like a personal video diary that you shot?
Oh yeah, there's hours of it.
Oh, awesome! Oh man, that's
like really cool.
That to me, that's the holy grail right there. I think that'd be great.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's really quite a treasure trove of memories.
Nice. Well, we'll cross our fingers for that. I would love to see a high definition treatment. That would certainly be a movie. Mm. You know.
That'd be really, really good.
Was there ever talk of like a sequel or anything like that? Or was it just kind of a one-shot deal?
I mean, everybody asks this, is there going to be a Willow 2? And I'd, of course, love to have another go at the character. Because for me, you know, I was 17 then, and I'm 40 now, and I've learned a lot about acting since then. And the sequel would be a chance for me to have another go at that character. And also, it would be interesting to see where he is now, you know, to become better sorcerer, more accomplished, and you know what's happened. I know the books have told stories of you know what's gone on, but
right.
I think it would be good to see. And I mentioned it to George and Ron. I said, you know, these movies are very popular. I don't know whether you realise, you know, people out there just love Willow.
Definitely.
And I said, yeah, we did discuss, you know, a TV series of Willow some time ago.
Oh, cool.
But We didn't take it any further. And I said, oh, well, it would, you know, be great. And then George piped up and said, he said, you know, but if we did do it, we'd have to recast because you're too old.
Oh.
He said it with tongue-in-cheek.
Okay, that's a low blow, definitely.
He said it was, he's got a very dry sense of humor, George.
if you had to speculate, you know, put, you know, 20 years, a sequel 20 years down the road, where do you think these, you know, you think Willow's, I'm guessing Willow's in charge of the village now. Burgle Cut's probably cleaning out the pig troughs or something, maybe.
I don't think he would be. I still see him as the underdog. He kind of nice. he tries very hard, but he's still. I don't know.
Man, save the world and you get no respect. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't see him as a leader. I just see that he's constantly having to remind people. Do you remember what I did all those years ago?
That's right. I fought a table. I fought a magic evil table, and I won. You know, I defeated evil.
I survived.
Now, man, I could talk about Willow forever, but I want to get to some of your newer stuff, Warwick. I mean, you're working on a TV series now, correct?
I am. Called Life's Too Short.
Yes, with Ricky Gervais, correct? Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a comedy, and it's really inspired by me being. Asked to do those sort of fly on the wall reality documentary series. And I never really that fancy the idea of a camera sort of following me around, even though I'm an actor and very vain. I still didn't fancy a camera kind of being part of my life for many months. So I sort of always said, no, I don't want to do it. And I started to think, well, should I do my own documentary and actually be able to control it a little bit? And then the idea of actually manipulating the reality of the documentary was quite appealing, and that's sort of how the kind of transition into this comedy series started. And having sort of shown some video to Ricky that I'd done on this sort of concept, he really loved it. I didn't think he was actually going to like it. And that was about 2 years ago. And over the last couple of years, we've been developing it. And now he's going to direct it with Stephen. They're writing it.
Oh, wow.
It'll be their next big thing after... Extras was the last big comedy.
Right, which, and you had a memorable role in Extras, one of my favorite episodes.
That
was a great role. And is that where maybe this idea or another partnership had was kind of birthed from that Extras episode?
Well, I mean, that was my introduction to Ricky and Steven.
Okay,
I didn't know them. I was, like many people, a big fan of The Office before that.
Sure.
So when Ricky called me at home one day and pitched me the idea of doing extras, you know, part of that pitch was, do you mind if I accidentally kick you in the face?
Oh, gee.
And when I accepted, then, of course, we then did the episode, you know, sometime later. But then, yeah, having met them on that, I was able to then send them this idea. So that was definitely the reason we're doing what we're doing now, is just having met them then.
So then is this new TV series, so it's like a faux documentary following the character of Warwick Davis? So it's like it's an alternate version of yourself?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's not shot like a documentary. It
okay.
Will be, like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
It sort of feels real, but it's not like a documentary.
A single camera.
That's right. I will be playing Warwick Davis, but the Warwick Davis that doesn't have the kind of full real life that I do. So
yeah.
In other words, yeah, he's definitely been in Star Wars. He's been in Willow. He's crying out for a Willow 2. He's got a very big ego. That's where we start to differ. He craves recognition. He loves people recognizing him. If they don't, he actually gets quite offended. He's getting divorced, which is not my reality. The line is very blurred, and that's what's so, to me, quite interesting. And to Ricky, certainly, he finds that very exciting and interesting, that kind of blurring the reality with the fictional life as well. So I'm really excited about it. It's a fun character to play because it's just caricaturing myself in a way. So you kind of get to turn up the levels on everything that is within you, you know, that kind of that ego. You just turn that up a bit more, and it's really fun to play with.
Now, what's the timetable for this series? I mean, does it have a network attached to it? When, you know, is there any kind of, release date for this? Or is this, what stage of the process are you in right now?
Well, we're actually casting at the moment.
Oh, you are? Okay.
We'll be shooting a pilot, though, at the end of June for a week. And then it's really up to the powers that be at the BBC to kind of see what's going on. You know, what they want to do at that point. And I believe HBO are being approached as well. So we'll sort of see where it goes from there. But I think with Ricky and Steven on board, it'll move fairly quickly, I should imagine. So we'll wait and see.
Wow. Great. And you have anything else? Anything else? You mentioned your autobiography, correct?
That's right. Size Matters Not is out here in the UK at the moment.
Okay.
And I'm busy talking about that all over the place at the moment.
Does that have a US US publishing date attached to it? Is that something we can get across the pond?
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna definitely have it. I think that the publisher over there is talking about next spring.
Okay.
Because the kind of time it takes. Publishing is a very different world from movie making, and I don't understand all of the time and length of time things take, but I'm told that it'll be early next year.
Oh, great. And you're doing book signings and kind of promotional events with the book?
Well, that's what I'm doing here at the moment, but I will be over there most definitely. I'm very much looking forward to coming and talking and signing and stuff. And yeah, I do a great presentation in which you would have loved it actually tonight because I just finished one, and I show excerpts from Return of the Ewok, which is, as a Star Wars fan would know, is a very rare film that, again, has never been released, but it tells a unique story of how I got part in Star Wars, but it's a fictional tale.
Yeah.
Also, some of the behind-the-scenes footage from Willow.
Yes.
I showed some of that. So, yeah, it makes for a lovely little presentation, and I see it as really being the, you know, if you buy a very special edition of a DVD, you get the movie and you get the extra features. Well,
right.
The presentation is a bit like the extra features. So you get to see the things that I talk about in the book.
Well, if you come to New England, I am definitely there because that sounds pretty awesome.
It'd be good to see you there, yeah.
Has it been fun for you just connecting with fans, hearing similar stories like I have, just like, oh, man, you know, this stuff you did was just so meaningful, so cool, so great growing up watching this. Have you been able to have those encounters?
I like doing that. Yeah, I mean, it's been great getting out and meeting people, because as a film and television actor, you don't have that connection with the audience at all like you would in theatre. So, yeah, getting out, meeting people, seeing what they enjoyed about your work, what they didn't enjoy, hearing their opinions on stuff, and realising that you do indeed, you know, can sometimes have quite a profound effect on somebody's life or their childhood and their growing up.
Right.
Of a film like Willow or like Star Wars and now also like Harry Potter. So it's really exciting and feels, you know, I feel very privileged to be able to do that.
Nice. I'm gonna leave you one more Willow question, just because I can't let it go. Do you have any interesting anecdote to share, like a prank from the set, or something behind the scenes that not a lot of people know about Willow?
Oh boy. Okay, let's think about it. The kind of interesting anecdote, possibly, or a thing you might not know, is there's a big sequence of the movie that was cut out and has never made it onto any sort of DVD at this point, and that is a big storm sequence.
Okay.
It's if you remember the film, go to the part where I'm just to collect Finn Rizzell, who's at this point in the movie a possum.
That's right, correct.
And I get onto the boat. Well, she says, take me to her. That's the last thing she says.
Yeah.
We're on the island, meaning take me to the princess. And the next time you see me, I'm in a little hut with Finn Rizzell, and I'm holding the baby. If you notice, my hair's all wet. Well, the section they cut out was me setting sail in the little rowing boat back towards the mainland again. And that more conjures up a big spell to create a storm and tries to tip me out of the boat. She conjures up a shark, fish boy type creature. I lose one of my acorns at that point, so hence at the very end, that's why I don't have enough acorns. But if you were counting during the movie, you'd have realized I should have indeed had one less.
Ah, interesting. But,
I shot one into the boat and turned the bottom of the boat to stone, which sinks the boat. I nearly drowned. I get caught in a net of fishing nets in the boat. Anyway, so we spent 2 weeks filming this whole sequence.
Sounds pretty complex.
Didn't make it into the movie. Yeah, I talk about it quite a lot in the book. It's a shame. It'd be lovely to one day maybe see it restored, but I think at the time it was very expensive to finish in post-production. And it actually just made the movie longer and didn't really add anything to the kind of the whole story. But nonetheless, when you watch the film, now you know about the wet hair there. It's an interesting piece of trivia.
I think people just thought you worked up a sweat rowing. That may have been just
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was always – if there is a sequel or a TV series, the one thing I want to see is Willow actually – throw an acorn and turn something to stone other than a piece of wood or, you know, a boat or something, you know?
Exactly, because we never saw it.
We never saw those up to the potential. well, Warwick, again, thank you so much. This has been a real fun time for me, and I've already kind of confessed how much stuff you've done that I enjoyed, and it sounds like this TV show you're working on sounds like it'd be great, and good luck with the book. You know, really hope that's a success. You know, hopefully we'll see it soon here in the U.S., and maybe I'll run into you during a book signing.
Cool. Look forward to that. Thank you very much.